The presenting sponsor of Upmarket is Aereo, the best place to grow and manage your real estate media business, online at aereo.com. That's A-R-Y-E-O.com. Coming to you from the makeshift Upmarket studio in the beautiful Ojai Valley of Southern California, this is Upmarket, a podcast about the business of real estate photography and media. My name is Reed Fish. I'm the CEO and a co-founder of Upmarket Media. And a little sadness in the air. No Mark Corcoran. Chelsea not here as well, producing from afar. Chelsea. But I am excited because there is actually another human being in the room with me, which is always a nice thing. And it's an old friend of the podcast. You might remember him. You might remember him from PMRE laryngitis. You might remember him from...
Ooh, we're going to bring that up. I'm glad we're getting it out in the open now.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, man. But that's the thing. Just because he couldn't talk doesn't mean he doesn't have good things to say. So we have him back. One of the fan favorite episode from kind of the first few episodes of Upmarket Pod. We have Sam Benner, who is the team leader of the Real Team at eXp Realty in Ventura, California. Sam, I brought you here not to make jokes about you, but I brought you here about a very serious subject. We've got this damn NAR settlement, and I think a lot of people in our industry have no idea how this is going to affect us. And we kind of understand the meat of it a little bit, but can you walk us through what this settlement is and what it does?
Yes. So, it was a settlement regarding commissions, right, and agents being paid commissions. So it was a settlement of $418 million being paid over 4 years, mm-hmm, is what NAR settled for. Basically, there's been a alleged, situation here with regards to commission being that they had been, that agents had been colluding to create a standard commission rate of 5 to 6%. Sure. This, of course, I personally disagree, uh-huh, with.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I am shocked.
We have had competing commissions in our marketplace as far, mm-hmm, as I can remember, and going back even years and years before that.
Now, because I know that's when I've talked about this with realtors in the past, that commissions are negotiable. Is that a state by state thing? Is that a California thing, or is that actually true nationwide?
As we understand it, it's nationwide.
Okay,
and commissions are negotiable. Correct. Okay. Yeah. So the settlement basically is now stating that buyers are now going to be required to sign a buyer broker agreement with a buyer's agent that was going to represent them. Mm-hmm. And that commissions are no longer going to be posted in the MLS. So there's going to be no buyer broker compensation being offered going forward.
Okay. And that doesn't mean, just because they're not posted in the MLS, does that mean that they don't exist?
Correct. Now that's going to be something negotiated now on every transaction.
Oh, that's good.
So
one more thing to negotiate.
Exactly. And so that's going to be basically what happens. It's going to be typically worked into the transaction. Uh-huh. But I can only imagine how many text messages I'm going to have to return once I get a listing. Are the sellers offering compensation? Are the, right, sellers offering compensation? To me, it's really just made that situation much, right, more muddier and frustrating.
Right. Well, I've seen memes already of people say, oh, how do you write a listing description now? And you say, oh, it has three, three acres per tree whatever. Right.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah. We're going to me, I think it's going to create just another point of conversation for sellers agents and buyers agents now working together. Mm-hmm. To me, unfortunately, what this has done is that it's now hanging buyers out to dry, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are going to be thinking that they're going to have to go to a listing agent directly, mm-hmm, possibly representing themselves. And right, we know that that's not the best idea.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out, right? Because my first reaction is, even when I saw that the lawsuits were happening and kind of learned more about it, my first reaction is that for real estate media professionals, I'm not sure how much of an effect it will have. And then the thing that came into my mind, because the listing agents are still going to have, they're going to be getting paid and they need to market the property, right? But I thought, well, so many of my listing agents are also, of course, buyer's agents, and many of them get a lot of their income from buyers. So if there's not as much on the buy side in terms of income, their marketing budgets could shrink. And I've also heard some chatter now that, oh, maybe listing a home is going to move to more of an a la carte thing where they say, well, if you want the premium package, it's going to be this much. If you want the lower package, it's going to be this much. And that I don't like.
Yes, I don't really like it either.
Okay, all right.
But in my opinion, honestly, I think the value of real estate media, you know, for your listings, will never be greater than it will be after this July 1st rule change. To me, there's going to be more value placed on also virtual tours and 3D tours, because buyers will typically want to do more research prior to signing a buyer broker agreement with an agent.
Because if they're having to pay an hourly rate to a buyer's agent to go, they're not going to want to see every little home.
That's correct. So the looky-loo stuff and all that, that's done. That's not going to be able to happen anymore.
Right. Well, that's not the worst thing.
No. And I think for all your, you know, fellow real estate media professionals, I'm telling you right now, it's never been more valuable to have all these high quality marketing materials to market their properties. Okay.
Well, I was talking to another broker in Ventura the other day, and they were the one who said, like, oh yeah, you know, it may move to this kind of a la carte thing. And Mark was there with me too. And we both just kind of looked at each other like, crap, no, don't say that. Because the listing photos and stuff, right? So if they, you know, they're going to pay more of a rate, well, they're going to get more marketing services. The issue I have, or not the issue, but what made me think was like, well, if people are going to truly move to that, then it really is incumbent on us as real estate media professionals to really continue to talk about what we actually do. And I've said it on this podcast a million times, but we do not market property. We market realtors. And when a realtor has to understand that what we do is actually, it's trying to get them another listing. It's not trying to sell that house. And that's what I've really been talking about with my agents over the last year or two, is just like, no, what we do is we market you. And so the house, you know, again, the house will sell no matter what. If it's priced correctly, you can have one photo, it's going to sell. But if you want another listing, yeah, get a video. Get aerial photos, get the virtual tour.
Yeah. And I would say that's where the virtual tour and a lot of those other items that are, you know, just more than listing photos are going to have that much more value now, because the buyers are going to really depend on them, you know, to market. And the sellers, of course, are going to appreciate that, because that's going to market their property to more potential buyers. And that's the case. If I'm a listing agent thinking about whether or not to invest in high quality marketing materials, the time has never been more important, you know, to do that, for sure.
Right. Well, and another thing I do want to bring up with this is what I've noticed is that we've been slower since the announcement of this settlement, right? So it felt like we were getting into, and we're recording this very, at the very, very end of March, and it'll be out early April. But it's, we've seen the last couple of weeks since the settlement news, it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's fallen off a cliff, but we had like this really great week, and then the settlement announcement came, or during that week. And then the next 2 weeks have been a little slim, and we're coming into what's typically our, you know, busiest time of year.
We would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, anytime a big decision like this comes down, there's going to always be like this transitional period. Everybody for the most part has been kind of holding, you know, in place for most of the time here. I do think that once we start to get into the later part of spring, it'll start to pick back up again. I think it was just the initial shock value of this that's caused things to pause a little
bit. Well, but I am also wondering if, you know, sellers are waiting because they're going to think they're not going to have to pay as much when
we'll list the property on July 1st.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll only have to pay a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
And that might also be the case too. And that's where it's important for real estate agents to get out there and make sure that we're educating our clients on this settlement.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's been a lot of mixed media results on this, where basically it's portraying realtors, I think, in a very negative light, and that we all should be dancing on realtor ashes, you know, with this settlement, versus actually it's really making sure that we're providing and proving our value.
Right.
And that's going to be really where it's going to have to happen these next few months.
Yeah. And I mean, it's true. You're proving your value because you want to keep those commission rates high, and you're going to actually have to, you know, and that's been, for a layperson, people complain about realtors all the time. Oh yeah. They don't do shit. And then they make $30,000 when I sold my home.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we've had a lot of these real estate agent reality shows.
I haven't seen a single one of them, thankfully. So.
You know, the millionaire real estate agent, you know, million dollar listing, selling Sunset. They show this incredible, you know, Beverly Hills mansion, and they show this potential commission. It's like $487,000.
Right.
And that's been kind of ingrained in our community now for the last few years. And of course, you know, they're looking at these people, all they got to do is just put on a nice suit and show the property and they get this check.
Right.
And, you know, obviously you're in the trenches with us. You know that a lot more goes into, you know, marketing and selling a property than that.
But really 3% though? I mean, is that really, or 2.5%? I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, and we are above average than other countries, you know, usually in other countries, you know, across the world, it's 1-2%. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, obviously I think the rates are going to, they're going to have to adjust, you know, but more importantly is I always found it very interesting that a real estate agent who's been doing this for 3 decades gets paid the same as a realtor who's been doing this for 3 seconds.
Right.
You know, I've always found that to be an interesting dynamic where now I think agents of higher value, experience, knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, trustworthiness, that's going to really come into where people are going to be happy to pay 1-2.5-3% for great, unadulterated service.
Right. So I guess what you're kind of getting at right there is that you do think, you say, oh, there's going to be an adjustment, but you do think commission rates are going to go down.
They're
going to
go down. Now how far, that's again,
right.
It's still something negotiable.
Right.
We've had, you know, in our industry, the Redfins of the world, mm-hmm. you know, the Help You Sells of mm-hmm. the world of decades past.
Isn't there one like a purple something?
Purple Bricks. Yeah. You know, they've always been trying to, you know, obviously crash commissions down. Mm-hmm. Agents have still continued. They've endured because the value of our service is very important.
I mean, that has to be the way to look at it is that, okay, they may come down, but yeah, it's just, and the thing is about it, if the commissions are negotiable, well, realtors do many things, but a main function of a realtor is to negotiate. So I would say the average realtor is going to be better at negotiating than the average homeowner.
Well, and it's, we've always kind of said this too, when you're sitting at the listing appointment with a potential seller and the first thing you have to negotiate with them is going to be your commission.
Right.
And the price of the house. Right. Those are the two things. So if I do a good job of negotiating my commission and the value of the home, mm-hmm. chances are I'm going to be good at negotiating the deal too. And that's really where you prove yourself to your client is going to be at that table.
Right. I screwed you. So, you know, I'm going to screw a buyer too. Well, I'll just call it like I see it.
Yes.
But what about the buyer's agents? I mean, what's life going to be like for them? Because our pipeline of listings goes through buyer's agents, right?
Yeah.
And what I mean
buyers
is like,
become future sellers.
Exactly. And so I know, and that's why I always make a concerted effort to still form a relationship with realtors who are just starting out, who are just really doing buyers, because those buyers will eventually become sellers.
That's how it works.
And that agent will become a listing agent, even if they're not doing any now, just by virtue of, if they are even halfway decent at their job, they're going to continue that relationship and have listings. So, but what is life going to be like for them? Is that pipeline to the listing, to being a listing agent, still going to be there?
Absolutely. Because I do think even though you can sell and buy a house without a real estate agent, you can. Is it advised to do so? No. You know, and so this is where, you know, as proving yourself and proving your value, you're going to want to really market yourself as to what a buyer's agent truly is. You're going to be able to really show that you're going to be able to help them find the property. Mm-hmm. You have a slew of vendors and affiliates and people that you're going to work with to help them get the property inspected, mm-hmm. you know, checked out. You're going to get them to the negotiating table. You're going to connect them with a great lender to help them finance the property. These are things that are incredible values that you're going to want to make sure that you have an agent representing you. I've always found it fascinating that the moment before we start working with the seller, we sign a listing agreement and all of those terms are laid out. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I expect of you. I do like the evolution of this, being able to sit down with a buyer, have a buyer consultation appointment, have them sign an agreement that you are going to compensate me for helping you buy this home. Instead of meeting them for the first time in the driveway of the first house we're going to go look at.
Right.
And that's what the market's been for a long time. So I actually think this evolution of buyer broker agreements becoming common, becoming important to do now, that way buyers agents will have a very dictated list of things that they're going to provide value with.
Yeah. And I've seen so many times where a buyer's agent just like, you know, shows 30 houses to someone and then, they take a step back from looking. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, they buy a house with somebody else because they just walked to an open house and the agent was, oh yeah, this is great. Oh yeah, I can represent you. And then the buyer's agent is bupkis, nothing.
Yeah. And that's usually what ends up happening because, you know, there is no commitment to each other. And so this will actually solidify that. And, you know, I think there's ways for us to incorporate a buyer's agent commission into how a buyer is going to acquire a property. So we'll to work those costs into the deal, you know, maybe the seller would include a buyer credit as part of this transaction. These are kind of things that we're going to start to see come into play as this rule comes into effect.
Right. Because I would think that a seller is, there is some actual motivation for them to compensate the buyer's agent,
right?
Because that will bring them more buyers, right?
Exactly.
If you have agents, I mean, because as much as I know every single agent only wants what's best for their client, I mean, without question, no, there's no debating that. But even with that, they're going to be naturally drawn to listings where they get a higher commission. Or will they get a commission at all, right?
And it, for sure. I mean, obviously, we want to have our services compensated. We want to have our experience, you know, paid for. The deal is that, you know, I think now there's going to be more of a increase in knowledge base put out there so that buyers can really show and prove their value to the buyer pool that's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's going to require, and I actually have one of my, suggestions here for your wonderful listeners be an idea around how you guys could help a buyer's agent market themselves.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. I was just going to ask about that because there, as we're talking about this, and I've thought about this all a little bit, but I think sometimes things, you know, just to have a conversation with someone, you can, all of a sudden you just thoughts process in your head in a certain way. And as you were talking about how buyer's agents might be compensated moving forward, I really thought, well, you know, we don't ever do marketing for buyer's agents. We do marketing for listing agents, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it would have to have a different form than what we normally do, because we normally just market listings. But we also do produce other content for our clients, and those clients are mostly listing agents, but you know, you can have a buyer's agent who wants to highlight how they have the relationship with the lender, or how they, you know, whatever it is that they have. Right.
Yeah. And that was going to be the idea basically, is to have these buyer's agents have a value video concept that you guys could sell to them. Also too, I think the return of neighborhood videos, community videos about those kind of habits, showing your expertise about a particular neighborhood or area.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all really important things to showcase yourself as a buyer's agent.
I remember doing those videos for you like 7-8 years ago.
We did a great one for the Keys.
Yeah.
Ventura Keys.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great experience, man.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's the thing, is I've had so many agents also want to do those type of videos, but no one ever pulls the trigger. I mean, I've talked about it on here a lot, how, you know, agents really want to do all this video content, and then when it comes down to it, they don't do it.
Yeah.
Because it's pulled 100 ways and budgets and everything else. But
For sure. But I think now when it's kind of a life or death situation now, you know, it's with the difference between you getting compensated as a buyer's agent and not.
Right.
I mean, making an investment in yourself to market yourself as a buyer's agent seems vital.
Yeah. My first reaction is, oh man, a lot of realtors are going to get out of the game. But I wonder if you're compensated on an hourly basis, it's actually going to enable more buyer's agents to kind of stay active and stay out there, because you can work for a year as a buyer's agent. As a new buyer's agent, and then not get a deal, right?
It's
and
true.
So if all of a sudden, right out of the gate, you're getting, you know, even 30, 40 bucks an hour, I mean, that could really, that could really help you kind of, you know, generate some revenue while you're working on the bigger projects.
Certainly. You know, there is no doubt going to be a massive exit of agents from our industry. I don't think we have enough transactions to support 2 million agents in the US.
Right. At a 2% commission or whatever, you know, so, or 1.5%. Yeah.
So there's definitely going to be, you know, some attrition, and that's going to be just part of the natural thing. I'm sticking in.
You're sticking in. Okay. All right. Okay.
You know, I'm an all in, you know, to stick into this business. However, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts too, there's a lot of part-time agents out there, you know, that do just a small handful, maybe, you know, transactions a year, that this type of situation will not be able to support, you know, the part-time agent anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, and the part-time agents are not ones that, you know, we tend to focus on as our ideal clients anyway.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. You know? And, you know, and this is a great time to double down with your heavy listing agents that you're currently working with.
Right.
Making sure that you're educating them on how important, you know, high quality marketing is going to be going forward in this new marketing space.
So much of what we do is about education, educating our clients, and, you know, and yeah.
We depend on you guys.
You do.
I mean, especially to be on the edge of technology, you know, I know there's a lot of things going on right now in evolution in your guys' business. You know, it's important that we're aware of, you know, what are some really cool, new and interesting ways people are marketing property that's going to maybe be an edge in me being able to get a listing over another agent that isn't talking about, you know, some of the really cool stuff that's out there right now.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Well, I'm intrigued by by you thinking about the virtual tours, you know, that I'm like, oh, are we going to have the glory days of 2020 back?
Those were fun, right?
Yeah, fun. They were fun for the pocketbook in terms of selling virtual, selling 3D tours, but
absolutely.
Every other thing was not very fun.
Right.
All right, Sam. That's good. I want to take a little break here. I got to digest this beer and a lot of the wisdom that you've just thrown down. So we're going to do a social media sidebar, and then we're going to come back with a lot more with Sam, and then we're going to end with some action items. Sam's going to, you know, give us an action item to save our businesses from the NAR settlement.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Thank you, Sam. Hey, you know, one of the things that I am grooving on about Aereo right now, they recently a kind of redesigned their listings page. So when we go on there and we see, you know, we have the tab where it's all our listings and it's all the, so it's a grid of all our recent shoots that we need to deliver to our clients or have just delivered to our clients. And it has a kind of a thumbnail of the thing of the listing, and it has the agent name. And now they've revamped it that it shows the order number, and it shows, how much that order is worth. And we can also see if it's been delivered, if it's been paid for, all these things. And so the grid now is much nicer. Not that it wasn't nice before. Come on, I'm not talking crap about Aereo. But I really like it. And at a glance, I can see, do I need to follow up with this person about payment? Do I need, you know, and then I also have a sense of how much money did we make today? How much money are we making tomorrow? So these are all things that I love. This is just one of like a million different things that Aereo does, and that Aereo is constantly, constantly trying to make their service better. So if you go to Aereo.com and you are a new user, if you use the code UPMARKET, you're going to get 15 free bonus listings. Sam, I got a question for you. When you're out there talking to the realtors, talking to homeowners, talking to buyers, where do floor plans rank in the discussion?
Floor plans are everything, my friend.
Oh,
everything.
That's what I've been saying. Everyone is obsessed with floor plans.
Oh my God, we love them.
Mark was just in Australia. They're talking about floor plans down there.
We can't get enough.
Yeah, everyone is talking about floor plans.
Give me a floor plan or give me death.
And yeah, and so now this is the time for you to stop listening, because I'm gonna say something, a secret sauce that realtors don't know about, but our industry knows about, and that's Second Floor App. Second Floor App is a way that you can go in just a few minutes, make a GLA floor plan of a home right from your phone. You go and you scan the property. It takes about 5 minutes, and instantly you are going to get a floor plan back that you can deliver to your client that is going to have the total, the GLA, the gross living area, Sam. Not listening at this point, right?
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. And you're going to be able to deliver that to your agent right then and there. Sam, now you can listen again. What if next time we're shooting for you, we could just deliver a floor plan.
Oh, that's
immediately
awesome.
While you're sitting there.
While
you're sitting there.
And the property, you've just shot the property.
Haven't even shot the property yet. Yeah, a floor plan before I even take a single photo.
Okay, we're getting crazy now.
Yeah, but guess what? That's $100. There we go. So you can, watch, I just upsold my client right there.
That's a great price.
So if you want to do that, if you want to upsell your clients on instant floor plans, it's secondfloorapp.com. That's all spelled out. There's no number in that. secondfloorapp.com/upmarket. You're going to get a free month of service, and you're going to be able to just produce a bajillion floor plans and make $100 times a bajillion.
Life is good.
Okay, social media sidebar time. We are a market pod across all social media. And now all social media includes TikTok. I finally did it. I got a TikTok account.
Good for you, Reed.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. I'm excited. I registered the damn thing. I haven't really done anything with it yet, but you know, it's exciting. It's exciting. So Upmarket Pod, follow us wherever you do social media. Sam, where can we find you? You got a TikTok?
I have a TikTok. I don't post videos on there yet, but I know it's going to be.
Just watch dancing videos or whatever.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And people falling down, you know, is usually kind of my going to.
Chef Reactions guy?
I don't know about the Chef Reactions guy.
Oh, yeah. He just is a surly chef and watches, like, you know, TikTok.
People making stuff on TikTok. Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
Being like, oh, that looks amazing. Or it's like, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And I was like, I'd still try it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. That my algorithm just feeds me that guy constantly. So, yeah. So, but where are we finding you on social media? Did you say?
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Sam Benner. Yeah. Easy to find.
Yeah, I know. And it's a lot of basketball stuff about your son.
That's been very much featured. Very proud of my son. He's going to be going to West Point Academy out in New York on a full ride basketball scholarship. That's awesome. Very excited for him.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah.
And and then you also, you know, post some 90s jams and stuff like that.
For sure. I'm a big music person.
Yes,
so I celebrate pretty much every decade of music. I'm definitely, and especially the 90s, 80s for sure.
Yeah. You get the vibe. I get the vibe.
Songs we don't want to forget about.
Oh yeah. No. And Sam will not let you if you follow him on Instagram.
Thank you, sir.
So Sam, but what do you, now you're leading a team.
Yes.
It's a smaller team now, but what's your messaging on social media for them?
Well, what we've been noticing is that, you know, we're trying to really frame our messaging around education. So, you know, educating our clients out there about what's going on in the marketplace. However, we're noticing that where we get the better interaction is when we're just kind of telling our story out there. So like, for instance, we've been looking for office space to move into. So we've been documenting our journey to find this office space. And I mean, we're getting 10 times the engagement we were getting off of those other more educational posts,
right? It's like what we always say, the behind the scenes stuff is what people actually want.
I mean, you know, I need to start reacting to people making weird stuff out of Doritos chips or something. Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Like that's got to be my thing. But that's what has drawn the most attention out of everything that we've been doing is just that more of that like behind the scenes, bringing them along, you know, on the journey with you, day in the life.
Right. And what account are you? Do you have another account? Because I don't see you doing that.
We have another account. It's called Really the Real Team.
Oh, Really the Real Team. Okay. Well, yeah, you got to pick that out.
Sorry. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I don't follow you. As a rule, I don't personally follow realtors. You're an exception.
Thank you, sir.
For the people I consider my actual friends, I follow them.
Yes, please.
Otherwise, no. I'm sure we follow them from the our market media account. So, okay. Well, once again, behind the scenes content is what everyone wants to see.
We're living for it, you know, and I think that's really just kind of again to show being your authentic self.
Yeah.
And that's going to build those relationships with your viewers and your followers. And then when they do have business, they'll remember you for that.
Right. All right, Sam. We'll be right back. All right, back with Sam Benner. And Sam, I was just thinking about it. And I just, there are sometimes in life and in business where, you know, you kind of want to, not even zig when others zag, but it's more of like, I think we're all sitting here as real estate media professionals. And then you guys as realtors, and we are in an uncertain time.
Yes.
And so I think this is a time where, to me, you don't want to get scared. You want to double down and you want to use your leverage. And so it's finding, you know, those leverage points that you have that then you can turn this into a positive. And like, and I always go back to, I have a really good client who was in real estate before the crash in 08, right? Now that's God, so long ago now. and she was saying that, you know, everyone was getting out at that point. It was tough. But then that's when she had her best year ever.
Right.
It's because she, and I don't remember exactly what she did, but she figured out the leverage point that she had with her experience to be able to weather that storm in a way that no one else could. And I think that's kind of the where we are now.
Yeah. No, I mean, actually, this is kind of when you're in a, we'll just say more of a down market, it's actually easier to gain market share,
right,
than it is in a hot market. And so for those people, again, because we will have people that are just frantic right now, like we talked about before, that are just going to exit the business. So that opens up market share right there.
Right.
But it is interesting to compare this to 2008. You know, now that was a real estate driven crisis,
right?
Where
right.
now we're talking about something very different, but the solutions are remarkably similar.
Okay.
You know, it's getting back and doubling down on your people that you currently mm-hmm. have in your database.
Right.
You and I were chatting a bit before the show that you actually had a good year last year because of all the mm-hmm. handshakes that you had done
right.
in years prior, meeting the agents where they are.
Right.
You know, and there's no difference for us in terms of us reaching out to our people and making sure that they see us still as their real estate agent, their consultant of choice.
Right.
So that doesn't change anything. But, you know, this idea of kind of traditional brokerages, and we'll just say maybe traditional media companies. Right. Those days are definitely over.
Right. Well, okay. And so, and I want to ask you about that because so the last time you were on the show,
yes.
you were the team leader at a big
yeah,
brokerage.
Big inside
one of the biggest ones in Ventura County.
Almost 300 agents.
Yeah. Almost 300 agents. Right. And so, and it was a much more traditional brokerage. It was a different model. And now you left that position, and now you have, I think, kind of not, I don't want to say reassessed your life, but reassessed kind of how you want to interact in this industry.
Right.
And you've chosen to lead a smaller team. You still want to be a leader. That's still in you, right?
Yes.
But you're leading a smaller team, and you've chosen to do, okay. So if I think of the EXP brand,
yes,
I think of that as just like online cut rate, you know, what do you even get? Right?
Right.
And so you chose to, and I'm not even talking, I don't mean to talk negatively about it. It's just the image in my head.
Cause
we don't have a ton of clients who are EXP agents. Right. And
right.
so, and so in my
it's
mind,
newer, it's yeah. newer on the scene, you know, but it is a cloud brokerage. It's a cloud based brokerage.
Yeah. Well, so, but that's a different model. Right.
It is.
And so what, and in a way that's a leverage point that I think you have that you can exploit. So what about that kind of model was interesting to you, and how, and again, and let's bring it back to real estate media people. How can at these agents who are at cloud brokerages, how do we approach them? Is there anything different about those situations that we should be aware of and that we can kind of use as leverage points for us?
Well, because we don't have that traditional model, you know, we are just by nature a very tech forward bunch. Mm-hmm. So approaching them with, you know, principles and properties and marketing materials that really foster that environment
right.
are going to be immediately attractive to agents at EXP
right.
And other cloud-based brokerages like us. You know, we like the 3D tours. We like the virtual stuff, you know, we're going to be really into that. And right. that's because we understand that that's going to be how people tend to experience property first. Mm-hmm. The necessity of having the big office, and for me too, it was to have to basically do away with all these regional directors and marketplaces and stuff right. to really chop up the state, chop mm-hmm. up our area. You know, with EXP, we don't have those borders or those boundaries.
Okay.
So we can operate, you know, pretty much anywhere we want mm-hmm. to without having to kiss the ring of every regional director up and down the state.
Okay. Well, how can we even get access to cloud-based agents? Because right now, if I'm going to go to, you know, Berkshire Hathaway or something, I'm going to go to their office and we're going to do a presentation. We're going to go to their mixer. We're going to do, you know, it's really easy to press the flesh with those people. But with you guys, I mean,
we're a little harder to find.
Yeah. And so
I get that.
How can, like, are you still having like team and not, and obviously you have your team, so yeah. you guys are having meetings.
We do.
But that's also, yeah, I'm sure I can go and give a presentation and, you know, or whatever. And,
yeah.
and that's the five people, but
right.
you know, but how can I get in front of 50 EXP agents in this region? Do you have like weekly Zooms or anything like that?
We do. And as mm-hmm. I say, it's basically the same kind of meetings and trainings and stuff that's happening, you know, in these respective mm-hmm. real estate offices. They're just happening online.
Right.
You know, and so there's different training directors for the mm-hmm. state of California and our region here mm-hmm. That, you know, again, would just be something that you would kind of use the agent that you're working with and say, hey, I'd love to get access to more mm-hmm. EXP agents and kind of get in there, get in that network, because there is a lot of opportunity for affiliates and vendors to us to right. present and educate us on, right. online.
Well, no. And that's something I think that we, you know, and I know Mark and I have not even thought about that. It hasn't crossed our mind because it's, oh, they don't have an office.
Right.
Right.
Right. And this whole idea too, I mean, the fact that we're getting an office.
Oh, your team is getting an office.
Yeah. Is kind of anti the model, but we understand because of the community that we live in, mm-hmm. how important it is to have a space, to have a place where people in the community can interact with us. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Most eXp agents operate completely out of their home or through virtual offices.
Right. But that's you zigging when others zag. Right. So, correct. I mean, that's, I think that's a smart play, right? To be the one guy at eXp who has an office.
And we understand that, you know, that's going to hopefully help us position ourselves to have more brand visibility here in this area.
Right.
It still is, you know, when you say Remax, Berkshire, you know, these other companies, they've had so much more time to saturate their brand out here.
Right.
We want to have that type of recognition, you know, for eXp in this area. So that's mm-hmm. one way to do that is to, you know, have a flag.
Your meetings with eXp are they regional based? Are they county based or are they just state based? Because obviously California, unlike, you know, there's a lot of real estate in California, much more so than most other states. So.
Very true. Yeah. I would say most of the training is state based. Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, national and international meetings as well mm-hmm. and conferences.
Right.
And I would say too, I mean, eXp conference is in Miami in October.
Right.
You know, there'd be an opportunity as well to, again, reach us at, you know, street level.
Right.
For sure.
Well, okay. But if I want to do a broker presentation or for a brokerage presentation about our services, I can't do it for the California meeting. I mean, do you have a more granular, like, Ventura County meeting or?
Well, what's interesting is that there's different groups within eXp, you know, and so there is, you know, a kind of a larger cell of eXp mm-hmm. agents that have all kind of rallied together.
Uh-huh.
And so that they do exist.
Okay.
You know, it's just, right. you know, but they're it's, just, but it it's is, not it's, commonplace.
It, yeah. It is not like the other,
it's
like
not out
where
there.
It's not so regional where, you know, cause I don't need to waste my breath talking to someone in Sacramento about, you know, about our services.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Right. So what you'll notice is that these, you know, we'll call them cells, mm-hmm. you know, inside of eXp that are here regionally, they do get together and share training and, you know, mm-hmm. and have meetings and have events.
So, but it's really, you know, and the actionable thing for our listeners is really, if you are dealing with, say, eXp or another cloud brokerage, is really getting to one of the agents and hopefully having them as a client, and then kind of picking their brain about how to get in with the most amount of agents in your area, in your service area.
Right. Right. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, your realtors better than most in your area, you know, try to target the ones that you really have a sense that are kind of more that influencer type.
Right.
They're going to have the connective pieces to get you to where you want to go.
Right. Yeah. So it would be people who are like leading teams. I mean, that's a big one, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
With cloud-based stuff, I mean, in a way, there's maybe a parallel to all the NAR settlement thing is that one of the things that makes those cloud brokerages attractive, from what I understand, and this could be wrong, is that they're not taking as much of your money.
Very true. Yeah, right? We have a wonderful compensation structure at eXp because we don't have a lot of those traditional brick-and-mortar expenses that, mm-hmm. you know, that's the broker's going to have to get that one way or another. So it comes out of the agent's commissions. So to not have those kinds of expenses, we're allowed to keep much more of our money.
Right. Well, and so then therefore you're able to, pivot and do things. I don't know. I mean, that's the attractive thing. Right. And
right.
so, you know, and I think there is, maybe a parallel, a not so great one is that maybe there are some agents who would be like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to give a similar service, but because I don't have this, I'm going to sell your house for 1.5.
Yeah. There is that, there is that risk for sure.
Yeah.
But the truth is now, I think what we've been talking about quite a bit today is that the value of marketing materials are going to be more, even more essential now.
Right.
And if I do have more of a budget to work with, because I haven't had to spend on a bunch of other stuff, I'm not going to have a problem at all investing in, you know, really good, high quality marketing materials.
Right. So, yeah. So now, Sam, you're existing in the cloud.
Yes.
And,
but I am a real person. I'm sitting across from you right now.
You are. Yes. But, you know, and I was just thinking about it and you had said it earlier is like, I think we've known each other like 10 years now.
It's 10 years.
Yeah. And that is that. And did we meet like when you first became a realtor?
You guys, when I first started, you guys were my first call. I ended up, I got recommended by somebody from the Keller Williams Ojai office, to reach out to you. And so, yeah, you guys shot my first listing and every listing after.
Well, I met you with, Jeff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And so we did a lot of work together as well with Jeff. Yeah. And he was very impressed with you from the very beginning. Well,
He was like my first client.
Yeah.
So So, well, yeah, we were out there and you were, you were the fresh agent and we were just growing our business and it has been kind of interesting to see the ebbs and flows of a career. And, you know, and I think back, 10 years ago, I didn't think of, I was no way, shape or form thinking of this as a career.
Well, and I think too, I mean, what you had done, obviously, I think was just created a real design and image standard that hadn't been really put into place yet, because right at that point it was wildly variant in terms of how these professional photos ended up coming through.
Yeah. Well, 10 years ago, it just wasn't, I mean, the landscape was much different. There were some people doing it and like, certainly the people who were had a different style and there wasn't, I remember when I first started and this was 10 years ago. And so prices were not what they are now. I had an agent, another one of my first clients and she used me and, it went great. But then I see she's putting stuff on the market and it's like, she's not using me. And I was like, well, what, what's going on? She's like, well, I think if the property is worth $1 million or more, I'll use it.
Oh gosh.
And even then, I mean, there were, it was less common than now. I mean, now $1 million is
that's
is
average
pretty,
here.
Pretty, yeah. Pretty, it's actually it's like just, literally just about average.
It's wild.
Here.
Yeah.
And then I realized, okay, I had to, I think my prices were a little too high for it because too, we were in an area where that wasn't the standard. Like if you were in LA, it was more the standard, but even up in Ojai or Ventura, which is only an hour plus away from LA, it's just, we're lagging a little behind the curve on a lot of that stuff.
Well, and we didn't realize at the time that what you guys were doing was marketing us.
Right. I didn't realize it either.
We didn't know, but we didn't realize that, your photos and your videos were actually marketing us as agents.
Yes.
We thought that the whole time, well, we're marketing the house.
Yeah, of course.
And so to see that evolution now into where you guys are currently at and understanding that process, has definitely changed things for us.
Yeah. Well, now that same agent, if she's marketing a property that is like literally made of shit, like literally there's flies on it, she'll be like, what can you guys do with this? Get out there. Give me the whole package.
Just go.
Yeah. So, clients come around, they know.
Well, and I think, and also too, I want to say just a big difference maker for me was just how personable you were. A lot of photographers, and I have seen them come and go from this industry.
Right.
They're always like the tortured genius style, they just come in and just shoot the house. And I mean, you really took the time, I think, to number one, just, talk to me, which was great.
Right.
But also too, to really understand the property, understand the client, and those kinds of things really made a big difference for us.
Yeah. Well, and I think I always found that more interesting because I didn't really give a shit about the photos.
right.
No,
the people part is what interested you.
To be perfectly honest.
Same here.
I never felt like, oh, I'm some artist coming in to shoot this. I'm just like, take the photos and I'm going to try to bring an artistic eye and make it look as good as possible. That's not what I'm saying at all, but it's like that has never, the tech side, all that stuff has never been my interest. Everyone knows that by now on this podcast, but, and that's how I think I built my business was being personal because that's what people remember is the experience. And as long as you have, an adequate or good, I had a good product. I always had a good product. I'm not trying to talk crap about my photos, but, people remember that experience and they want that again. And two, if you are a personable person and the homeowners are there, which they shouldn't be there. We don't like homeowners to be there, that is a bonus for your client to have someone, a vendor.
You guys are an extension of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so how you guys operate and how you guys treat the home and obviously handle with care, all those things, but to have somebody who I felt could come into a home, dare I say the homeowner was there and not be shuddering in fear that you're going to say something or do something that's going to offend them. I never had to worry about that with you.
Of course. And I think that's exactly how Mark built his business too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's reliable and he's very personable too, in a different way than I am, but he's just a very like gentle, kind person and, thorough and professional. And so I think that's, and he does great work. And so I think we were both kind of in those parallel tracks, able to grow our businesses and
yeah. It's a was really exciting when you guys did, did finally partner up, because it didn't feel like we had to choose. Because you guys really were, as far as I can remember at that time, you know, you guys were both kind of the leading, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there were a few other people around and there still are, but we were the big dogs, I think.
For sure.
So yeah. And then, you know, your journey has been too, it's been, you know, ups and downs, obviously, as with anybody, but, you know, you came from being the rookie in there to, of course, moving into a leadership role.
Yeah.
And okay, we can reminisce about old times, but again, to always bring it back to, you know, what is useful for our listeners. And I think I always recognized in Sam that Sam was a client I wanted, because I think there's never been a realtor who has recommended me and our company to more people than Sam has. And because Sam is someone who is a connector, and I think when you realize that someone, and you were never like a super high volume client for me.
No.
But at the same time, you were a VIP, a very important client, because you were someone who recommended. So it's always like, oh yeah, let's take care of Sam. Let's make sure we take care of Sam, because he always takes care of us. And I think if you have those clients who are like that, and even if they aren't the high volume ones, you really want to make sure that you service them well, and you want to keep those connections strong.
And you said it. I mean, and I think there's really, most of what we do as real estate agents is connect. You know, it's connect to, you know, buyers with great people, you know, so it was critical, you know, for, you know, to have somebody who I felt I could really, you know, put out there. And it was a very easy conversation, you know, to have, but I did have a lot of agents come to me and say, who do you use?
Sure.
You know, I mean, it was definitely a constant conversation I had.
Well, I've had agents, tell me that they didn't want to tell people who they use because they felt like it was a competitive advantage.
Right,
it's a little different landscape now, because most people are using professional photographers, but I've had that. And then I've also had, and in fact, I was actually called by like a builder or a paint company or a painter or something who needed photos for their projects. And they said, oh, I always like what this agent does. And I asked them, who do you use? And they wouldn't tell me. So I had to figure it out.
Wow.
So they literally, the person wouldn't tell them, and they had to figure it out. And then they called me.
Do they see your upmarket in the image title?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, that's the oldest hack we have.
There you go.
You know, and so that then is an agent that you know, happens to be a big client of ours, but that's also an agent that I don't really respect.
Yeah.
And especially it's like this person was not a competitor to this agent, because they weren't even an agent.
Right.
And they wouldn't give out our, you know.
Yeah. So. I mean, and there's obviously different levels of how agents compete with each other. But unfortunately, that is one of them, where you kind of have like this whole, you know, these people that you work with and they only work with me. And it's, to me, it's a real limiting belief to think that if you refer it to somebody, that's somehow going to affect your business. That's hogwash. Yeah.
I'll give you $10 if you can guess who it is after the show.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I actually think I'm out $10, because I bet you're going to be able to guess. You know, and that guess is going to take action. And so, you know, today, guess what, Sam?
Yes.
Our action items are sponsored by Pixel CRM. Pixel CRM is a CRM. You know what CRMs are.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
But get this. This CRM is devoted to real estate media professionals.
Really?
So it's all set up for our businesses to thrive. And we at Upmarket have been using it for a little while now, and it's been fantastic. We're still, you know, it's just, God, it's been busy again. So we still have to get in there and get more into all the stuff it can do. But the thing, and this is like so key and so huge, our Google reviews have gone through the roof since we started using Pixel CRM, because it is sending follow-up texts after our shoots, and it is asking for reviews.
Oh,
because
God, that's
as
great.
You know about anything, if you ask, people are more like, would you like me to represent you on this property? If you don't ask that, they're never going to say, would you leave us a Google review? Oh yeah, I will. And so we've had great success doing that. And I think that is really like solidifying our place as the leading real estate photography company in West Ventura County. And so if you want to get in on that, you can go to pixelcrm.com/upmarket, pixelcrm.com, and you are going to get a free month trial.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think so. So Sam, Hit me with your action item.
Okay. My action item for you wonderful digital media people out there is going to be meet the agents out there in the wild. We talked about trying to find them, and those places are going to be open houses and broker tour. Do we know what broker tour is?
Yeah, we do. We've covered this in a previous podcast because someone was like, in fact, at PMRE, I was talking with her and I mentioned Caravan and she's like, what's that?
Yes, Caravan. Yes.
And so, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So basically it's one day a week, the agents get together and they put their new listings on the market for the first time. Usually this is the first time the property is going to be available to be shown.
Sure.
And the agents, you know, tour all the new properties for the week together. And this is a great time. The listing agent typically is the one hosting the broker tour. And the listing agent is who you guys want to be talking to.
Yeah.
You can maybe take a look at their pictures if it's not somebody you're working with, or take a look at their other media items that they have and come in and kind of show them and show them your value.
Yeah. And if you're a member of the association, you're going to get a list of all the people of all the houses that are on the Caravan or the broker tours. So that way you can go, because you have to know that they exist.
And absolutely. So, and remember that even though some of these companies still have offices that you can go to and team meetings that you can speak at, and I'm not trying to be negative, but most of the people at those meetings or at the office aren't busy.
Right.
They don't have listings.
Correct.
The busy agents are out there doing work. And so this is a place to find them.
Right. Okay. That's a great one, Sam. And I'm going to actually piggyback off that one.
Let's do it.
It's something I was thinking about earlier. So not only should you be going to the broker tour, and guess what? If you don't have one in your area, you're out of luck on this action item. But not only should you go to them, but you should actually, with one of your listing agents, when that house comes up, especially if it's a cool house, a showcase listing, offer to co-host the broker tour. Ooh. And you can come in, you can bring the coffee, you can bring the donuts. So, you know, most like people are, the realtors are putting food out so that entices the realtors to
come. We're a hungry bunch.
Well, if you tell your listing agent, hey, can I provide the coffee? Can I provide the food? And then, and in return, can I hang out? And, you know, you can introduce me to all the realtors that are coming through. They're probably going to say yes. And so that's a great opportunity to co-host a broker open with the broker.
I love that, Reed. What a great idea.
No shit. Sam, well, once again, thank you for coming on the pod.
You're very welcome, Reed.
I appreciate it. And I also want to thank our listeners. Thanks, listeners.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Always, always, always. And we will, you know, we're a weekly podcast now. We're going to be back next week with a brand new episode.
Upmarket is a production of Upmarket Studios. This episode was produced by Chelsea Froelich and edited by Bethany Diedrich. Thank you so much for listening, and we really hope you listen to the next one too. In the meantime, our wish for you is to not have to shoot any Friday night Twilight shoots. Thank you for everything.